What's up, everybody? This is Jamilia, and you're listening to Barely Legal and Web3. On this podcast, we talk about everything at the intersection between legal compliance and Web3 innovation. I launched this podcast to celebrate all of the amazing innovation that's happening in Web3, but also to unapologetically highlight some of the massive failures that we have seen, about what's working and what's not. And we also talk about what it takes to be a successful Web3 lawyer. When I first started ByteBow, there were no resources for lawyers looking to venture into this space. I didn't know anyone that was in Web3, and it was really difficult. I really believe that everything in Web3, and particularly in law, has to lead with diversity and inclusion. So if you're a lawyer and you're looking to get into Web3, or you're looking to connect with other attorneys and you don't know anyone who's in the space, please check out the community that we've built at ByteBow. You can check it out in the link below. I always leave the link there for people to join. It's totally free. Come in, connect with some other great Web3 lawyers who also believe that we should be building an inclusive community. And on top of that, we're sharing great information. You get to learn, you get to connect with other people, you will ultimately get a chance to get referrals, and so it's just a wonderful place to be. It's a safe space, and I hope to see you in there. So Stripe has come out with a fiat to crypto functionality on their application. For me, it's big news. I use Stripe all the time. I think Stripe is great, but it's so funny to me that a platform or a company that's very Web 2 is now slowly moving over into this Web 3 space. And another piece of huge news for you listeners today is I have someone on the show that I'm going to have on for the next few episodes. Her name is Erica DePellegrin. And Erica, you're coming in from Australia. You're new to Dubai. Why don't you say hello to everybody? Introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I'm excited to be here and have some awesome conversations with you over the next couple of weeks. As you said, I've recently moved from Australia to Dubai. So, I mean, I feel like I've been here for a while, but as I'm learning, being here under 1 year is quite fresh. So I'm very new to Dubai. My background is in finance law, but I have a massive passion and interest in the Web3 space, which brings us to here and now, and I guess how our paths crossed. But really excited to chat with you and be involved in the podcast. So thank you for having me here.
And it's so funny, Erica, because, you know, now there's like this massive wave of people who are coming into Dubai. I myself, I'm only just hitting the first year mark, and you're now coming in. And I think for a lot of people that are listening, people are really interested in this whole idea of shaping your life to make it the way that you want. And that's something that you've done. And hopefully in one of our talks, I'd love to know more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things you don't think you can do until you do it. So I'd love to kind of chat about what my strategy was. And I feel like I'm in the middle of it now too. So it'd be awesome to chat through it.
So let's just kind of give a proper introduction. We'll get to the Stripe news, which is huge news. But I think what is even more exciting is having, you know, someone on who's a guest, who's going to be a guest for a few episodes. You're interested in Web3. And so tell us a little bit about your legal career and why you're interested in Web3.
Sure. The two don't exactly have a perfect unison or synergy, but I guess that's why I'm here trying to bridge the two. My background is in finance, banking, and corporate law. So I've worked both in-house and private practice for a combined total of around 5 years. And to be honest with you, I studied media and law at uni. So my intention was to go into IP, into communications, the media space, but it's one of those things where I kind of landed a really good job as a paralegal whilst I was at uni. They offered me a role as a lawyer once I graduated, and I just kind of stayed there. It was just a natural progression. It was never something that, you know, made me jump for joy, jump out of bed. It was just kind of always work for me. And on the side, I have a couple passion projects. So I also have a podcast. It's called The Balance Theory. It's more in the self-growth space. It's really just a self-growth project for myself and a really great way to meet amazing people. But the energy and the passion I had towards that really gave me perspective as to, okay, you can actually like what you do. And that made me initially feel quite disassociated with law. And so with the move over to Dubai, I kind of felt like maybe I'm done with law. Maybe it's not the thing for me. But as you said, I also have an interest in Web3. And that was kind of sparked from my fiance's incredible passion for it. He's like an undercover geek when it comes to things Web3. Background is a Cairo, but he's somehow found his way to crypto and down the rabbit hole, as they say. So his kind of love and passion completely rubbed off onto me. I became so curious. It became a topic of so many of our conversations. And my interest was really piqued more on the tech side, on the innovation. And I'm really curious to see how the Web3 space and all of its creativity and the way it's decentralizing a lot of the things that we have today, how that's actually going to come in and change the way we do a lot of the things that we do today. And so with the move to Dubai, we kind of started to attend some Web3 events. I started to really open up the question, you know, maybe my legal career can take a twist into something I'm passionate about. And I feel like that's where I found this really beautiful synergy. It's completely re-sparked an interest and a passion to be a lawyer. And I just feel really grateful for the opportunity, because had I not, you know, entertained that possibility, I think I could have missed out on a really big opportunity. So I'm really excited to be here and chatting, but that's kind of a bit about my background and how I'm now trying to fuse it with my passion.
You know, that really resonates with me. And I actually, you know, as many times as we've spoken, I've never really thought about that whole idea of sort of falling out of love with the practice of law and everything that it is and everything that it represents. And I think I myself went through a similar journey as I talk about, you know, leaving the bank, leaving Standard Chartered and kind of feeling like, that's it, I'm not going to do, you know, this legal stuff anymore. Maybe I'll just, you know, do some consulting on the side. But I think to your point is that there is a way to shape it, to make it something that is for you and to make it something that you love. And that's a skill, right? I mean, it isn't something that will come overnight, but if you're consistent and if you're serious about it, you really can shape it. And I think you're being modest too when you say you have a side project. You have a really cool, booming health and wellness, you know, balance there, all of that. I mean, that's a very, you know, you're being very humble. It's awesome. You guys go check it out. But it does kind of align with what you're trying to do, which is to shape a life that is right for you. And I think what I've realized in this journey and what you're kind of pointing out is that when you get into Web3, because of the nature of the industry, you can work remotely. You can, you know, choose your clients. You can shape the career to be whatever it is that you want to be in the space. And hopefully that's something that you'll be able to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing that comes to mind for me, it aligns with everything I kind of talk about on the podcast as well, is this idea of being in alignment. And when it comes to when you speak about the Web3 space, I always look at it and I find it interesting from, say, like a marketing point of view. If you're speaking to Web2 companies, it's all about how do we promote our brand? How do we, you know, drive conversions, etc. Whereas now the conversation is with Web3 is how do we build community? How do we facilitate a network? How do we give back to people and actually give them ownership in our business? And I think a byproduct of that is we're going to see so many industries, and I'm really fascinated to see how it kind of all unravels, but something like a traditional law firm, when I think about that in terms of how Web3 operates, I'm really excited to see how we start to break down those really fixed structures as to how companies are built. And for me, working in, I think that's a big appeal, you know, like the way Web3 structured, the mindset, the mentality, it's like, get rid of the suits, wear something that's comfortable.
Yes.
It's work wherever you want. It's, you know, putting the buyers or the investors first and creating community. All of those things have really attracted me and feel very aligned for me. And just the prospect of how that's going to shape and shift so many industries as we know it, I'm very excited to watch unfold.
Oh, yeah. People need to be able to show up. I mean, you just said something that kind of sparked a memory in my mind. You said, when you think of a traditional law firm, when I think of a traditional law firm, professionally, I'm totally turned off. It's really not the place for me. And even to be present today and show up as my full self, like wearing my hair in braids, you know, just coming to appear as you are, That's really important. I think that's becoming more and more important to lawyers, and particularly to women who have, mm-hmm. you know, other things that they need to balance in their lives, whether it's family or their other, you know, aspirations or hobbies, but just to live like a full life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think within an industry, or I should say a space, Web3, that is, you know, where community is such a big part of it, I really see the future heading in that direction. So really excited for what's to come and excited to kind of be at the forefront of it.
So Erica, as you know, we have the boot camp, which is coming up in January, which is the Web3 boot camp. And that is going to be, I mean, it's taught in a way that is kind of based on this community idea, is that we learn in small groups. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about your aspirations for what you hope to get out of that, because you will be attending, and mm-hmm. kind of what kind of led you to it.
So the way I kind of found out about yourself and the boot camp was I was at a networking event, and I always look at these things like, whether you're listening to a podcast or you're at an event or you're reading a book, for me it's like, what's the one key takeaway, almost like a little breadcrumb that's going to lead me to the next thing, because it can be really overwhelming if you try and take in all the content. And you know, so for me it's like, what's the breadcrumb that's going to take me to the next place? And for me, I was at this event and I met this guy who was in marketing, and he has like a process on LinkedIn where he kind of connects with people in the same space as him. And he had a list. It was all automated. It was amazing. He had this list wow. of people, and he said, let me see if I know any lawyers in the Web3 space. Because I was kind of asking him, you know, do you know if people are hiring? I was trying to navigate and understand what it looks like for a lawyer in Web3, because a massive hurdle I've run into here is recruiters don't really understand the space. They think it's too risky. They're not really comfortable advising you on it. So I kind of had to do the work myself. And your name was one he gave me. And when I jumped on your LinkedIn and I, you know, boom, you're a podcaster as well, and you're a lawyer in Web3, and you've got your own consultancy and you run these amazing boot camps, I literally was like, I need to meet this woman. So I reached out to you, and that's when we got chatting, etc. It's a long story, but here we are. And that's when I found a little bit more out about the boot camp, which the prospect of it is very exciting to me. Number one, it shows to me that there's actually a community of people, at least women lawyers, who are interested in becoming lawyers in Web3, which I wasn't, I know this might sound weird, but I just wasn't sure if it was a thing or not, because no one could right. really give me a clear answer. And it's also not one of those things that you can, you know, do as an elective at uni. It's a space that's A, so new, B, changing so constantly, that I feel like it's quite hard to, you know, box yourself in and go, okay, now you've got all the knowledge of the regulation or the laws or the processes to go and become a Web3 lawyer. It's one of those things, you just have to be involved in the space. So to me, the fact that there's kind of a boot camp and a program, that's not only going to give me a really beautiful intro into, I guess, the basics and the things I need yeah. to know to bridge my Web2 self into a Web3 lawyer, but the fact that I can also kind of align with a community that's like-minded and has a similar interest and passion is the most exciting thing for me. Because I think we really underestimate the power of relationships. And I don't blame myself or anybody for that mentality, because I think in like a traditional law firm, especially in my experience, it's been very much like dog eat dog, every man for themselves,
oh,
like
yeah.
that collaborative side is not necessarily promoted or as utilized. So
right.
the fact that, you know, we're in the context of Web3, that to me is very exciting, building up that community and collaborating in a way where it's not about competition, it's about working together and working it out together.
Absolutely. And I can even remember far back to like my law school days. Yes, I can remember that far back. Really, it was so competitive, right? I mean, they ingrain that in you from the first day.
School.
And we were told, and you probably were told the same thing, look to your person on the left, look to your person on the right. You see those two people. Okay, only one of you is going to finish. And only one of you is going to, it was like the most competitive thing. Right, yeah, to just kind of scare you into thinking that whatever information you learn, you have to keep to yourself. And the reason for that is because jobs are given out based upon your rank in the class. So if you're potentially, if you're sharing information with your classmates, you're giving them a competitive advantage over you, which diminishes your chances of getting a good job because you're basically bumping yourself down on the ladder for rankings, for graduate class rankings. And it played out that way. I mean, I remember going into school, into class. I was the evening class because I worked during the day. I also had both of my sons during law school. That's a whole nother episode. Wow. but it really was something where you would ask, hey, you know, can I look at your notes? I missed last week. And people would be like, I don't have any notes. No, I don't have notes. Sorry. Wow. Or they would just say no. Like I was even told no. People were like, no. You know, like, no, I don't share notes. That would be the response. And it was such a competitive environment. And I'm pretty sure that those people are still competitive in that way to this day and don't work collaboratively. But what happens when you work like that is that you yourself also don't learn. And so there are many, actually, I do know of a few other blockchain lawyers associations or, you know, Web3 legal associations. But I really think they haven't really embraced that whole idea of being collaborative and learning from each other. I still think it's, hey, it's me. I'm the expert in this space. I'm going to be combative with you about your perspective on what's a security or how digital assets should be regulated. And we don't need to be like that. We can share information. We can all kind of grow together.
Yeah, absolutely. And that just reminded me of this whole fixed versus growth mindset. And to me, that really draws a line in the sand between Web2 and Web3. I mean, if I wanted to, you know, try my hand in family law, let's say, right, and I've never worked in it, but as a lawyer, I feel like you can pick up the basics, especially if you have some common sense in you too. I mean, I'm not saying family law is simple. I'm just saying if I was given the opportunity to move in and give it a go, I think I would work it out. But if I approached a family law firm now to apply, they would look at me and say, you've got no experience in family law. Like, we're not even going to consider you. Whereas in Web3, it's like, okay, well, how can you get involved? How can you get across this? And the thing I love most about it, and the thing I'm excited to meet people in the boot camp as well, is nobody can really claim to be an expert, I feel, because it just hasn't been around long enough. It's evolving and it's changing. And to me, it's just a group of people who are passionate about the space, who are working it out together, who are working out how it fits into the world as we know it, working out what all the innovation means. And the nature of that is just a byproduct, so collaborative. So for me, that's just a huge plus and a network I'm really excited to build as well.
Yeah. And, you know, to that point, your point about family law, it's so funny because in Web3, there are all these different verticals, right? So you have Web3 meets hospitality, Web3 meets fashion, right? You see the fashion and the metaverse and AI and everything. And if you have experience in something like family law, for example, in our first boot camp cohort, we had a guy who he's an entertainment lawyer, but he also works with ART, the assisted reproductive technology. And so he had this amazing background in entertainment, but also an amazing background with ART law and representing clients that way. And then he was in this Web3 space. And believe it or not, in the bootcamp, we actually had a company that came in that had a huge entertainment push on what they were trying to do. So you never know where your practice area expertise is going to come into play. And you're absolutely right. No one should really feel as though they don't have the skills to come in and to learn and to really just contribute. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. It's funny. I wanted to kind of ask you, as someone who, you know, you're kind of thinking about this work-life balance and how to be aligned with what it is that you're trying to build and be intentional towards those things. What is a piece of advice that you would give to someone who's listening right now, who still is kind of like unsure, that's like, I don't know, Erica, you know, you move from Australia to Dubai, you're adventurous, right? You're already adventurous. I maybe can't do it. What would be your thought to them?
You know, this is a very timely question because I've just recorded an episode on kind of reflecting for the year. And so I was also reflecting, and one of the questions I put in that episode was, what's the one thing I've learned this year? And to me, that is that I am my biggest barrier. I'm my biggest obstacle. You literally place the biggest limitations on yourself. Whereas often I feel we can easily fall into this victim place where, but it's because of that person didn't hire me, or it's because of an external reason that I can't get what I want, or I could never even think about becoming that person or doing that thing or applying for that job. And I think the sooner you take accountability and responsibility for that and own the fact that you're probably your only obstacle, your only limitation, amazing things happen, because you stop focusing on what you can't do and you focus on, the question is not, can I do it? It's how can I do it? And I feel that's a very Dubai attitude as well. But in all honesty, you might disagree with me now, but if you knew me 2 years ago, I wouldn't say I'm that adventurous. Like, I'd never kind of spend time alone. Moving overseas was like, yeah, I'd like to do that, but for maybe like a month. These things for me, I feel, fell into that category of, well, I can't do that because I'm not that person. But when I started to ask the question of, well, what's aligned for me? What kind of lifestyle do I want to build? Where do I see myself in 5 years? Is it still in this same office, working under this same person, probably moved over to the next office, a little bit bigger to myself as opposed to a junior sharing with someone else? Like, is that where I want to go? Or do I want to pivot a little bit and have something different? And I think if you just have the courage to just do that and dream without limitations first, and then start taking action towards that and realize that you are your biggest limitation, I think amazing things happen. And that's the biggest thing I've learned this year, because every time I've fallen or been set back, it's honestly been because I've done it to myself. And that's also, you know, whether you really fully agree with that or not, it's a personal mindset approach. But I think even if you just adopt that thinking, it really helps with accountability and responsibility. Just kind of take charge of your own life.
I agree. Amen to that. I mean, that just resonates with me so much. I'll share with you in my journey and even building Bitebow, it has been one leap after the other, you know, consciously saying, no, I see myself here. I got to do it. I've never done a photo shoot before. Oh, well, I got to do it. I've never, you know, hired MUAs to come to the house, makeup artists come to the house. I'm like, you know, an occasion outside of your wedding, right? To, you know, really to do that. And it's scary, but it's also about investing in that, right? Investing in yourself and investing in that dream that you have. And, you know, I really believe that the boot camp is a way for people to realize that, because anyone that comes in and that has that goal or that desire, we're all going to help each other out. In the last one in May, people were able to kind of make contacts with companies and to really just come out to have, you know, hit the ground running in terms of building business. And that's what we really hope to do for people. It's not just about learning, it's about doing. And so that is a key distinguishing piece. On that point, because I see we're just chatting it up. It's like we've got a lot to cover and we are going to cover more. I wanted to come back to Stripe. Because, you know, Stripe is, we get to talk a little bit about what's happening in the space. Last week, I got a little crazy talking about SBF and FTX, you know, hit a nerve with me with the bankruptcy filing and, you know, the wording that was used there. But this week, I want to talk about Stripe because they're traditionally a Web2 payments platform, and now they're venturing in the space of Web3. And I know there are so many companies and so many small startups that had this dream of providing value in the form of, oh, we're going to convert, we're going to help you, you know, receive payments in crypto and convert it to fiat or vice versa, thinking they were adding value in a very Web3 way. But here this big Stripe comes in, right? Used to be a startup years ago, but now Stripe is huge. It seems like they're kind of taking their lunches. It seems like they're kind of, you know, entering a space that's, I won't say they don't belong, but it's a new space for them.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I totally get what you mean. There's so many companies working their way up to that innovation. But I do think as a byproduct of Web2 and Web3 still being separate, within that transition, you are going to have so many Web2 companies that are either just going to show up and use the Web3 tech and act in a Web2 way, or they are going to try and integrate. And so I don't think something like this is totally unexpected. I think eventually we're going to start seeing more, like, you know, wouldn't be surprised if Apple comes out and does something similar to facilitate like Apple Pay buying crypto directly and whatnot. But it's, if you're looking at the short term, I suppose it's good for the space in terms of introducing retail investors in quite easily and quite quickly. But it's still interesting to think about it from like the decentralized versus centralized point of view, because it almost appears they're acting in a decentralized way, but ultimately they're from Web2 and they are a centralized company. And so innovation like this, obviously from a Web3 lens, is always preferable from a decentralized starting point. But I do think we are going to have these points of friction and these kind of muddled projects. When I say muddled, I mean, you know, half Web2, half Web3, kind of one foot in, one foot out. I think it's just kind of a byproduct of being in that transition space. As unfortunate as it is for those Web3 companies who are focusing on innovation, I think it's kind of just part and parcel of the rollover.
Yeah, and I guess you could kind of look at it from the way that, you know, I mean, you might not trust a Coinbase so much, you might not trust a Binance so much, but most, you know, people would pretty much trust Stripe, right? The name Stripe, it breeds credibility. You feel as though nothing shady is going to happen. They have a whole segment about books and records. I mean, they're not going to do anything shady as far as we know. I mean, who knows? Maybe a few months from now, we'll be back on this podcast talking about something.
I hope not.
But it does breed credibility. So that's a good thing. I mean, I guess that can bring people into Web3 and can serve as, you know, kind of the bridge or the gateway into Web3. So I guess pros and cons to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there are things like they complete like the KYC and the anti-fraud checks and stuff like that, which obviously is a plus for an investor coming in. It provides that additional layer of security. But there are obviously pros and cons. I mean, the Web3 approach, if you don't do something like that, you have to set it up yourself, which I know from a tech point of view is still very complicated. I still get my brain wires get all knotted when my fiance is explaining to me how to get this wallet and that wallet and, you know, merge them and connect them and all this stuff. So, you know, the alternative is you learn how to do that and become your own bank, which obviously has its own pros and cons as well. Or you can go through something like Stripe, pros and cons as well. I think the more we venture into this Web3 space and it becomes a lot more user-friendly, because at the moment it really is just developers' land. They're just building the tech. They're not really thinking about the user experience. But I think over time and very soon, that's going to start to improve very quickly. Maybe with the contribution of companies like Stripe, it'll, you know, push innovation from the Web3 side to focus and push the user friendliness of some of the tech. But yeah, I guess pros and cons, everything, it comes down to the individual person, what they're comfortable with and how familiar they are with crypto space too.
Oh yeah. I mean, I could totally see a much better interface, right? I mean, you think about, you know, you talked about different wallets and, you know, you get the little pop-up message when you buy an NFT about your smart contract. And what if all of that goes away and Stripe just makes it beautiful and clean and easy with the push of a button? That would be amazing.
Well, I did see an ad for like the interface of Stripe, and it is quite seamless. Like, it's pretty cool what they've achieved. So it'd be awesome to see that tech kind of be built out and built on and come from decentralization primarily. But I think it's overall like a plus for the space. Absolutely.
Love to see it. Love to see it. Erica, this has been amazing having you on. I mean, I really think that your insights are great. And then also to give people a bit of insight as to what it's like to transition into Web3, into this space. I mean, you're also on somewhat of a nomadic journey and finally settling into Dubai. And believe it or not, a lot of the members of the community and a lot of the listeners have the same sort of path. They're looking to shape their life in that way. So I'm pretty sure that people will enjoy hearing your perspective and hearing what you have to say about what's happening in the space.
Thank you. It's been really fun being on, and I'm looking forward to the next couple episodes to kind of dive in more about, you know, everything you just mentioned. So thanks again.
Thanks for coming on. All right, everyone, thanks for listening and stay safe out there in those crypto streets. Take care.